One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV, it's the Match Preview Show. I'm Steve Hoare, joined by Dan Clubb and by John Reid to have a look ahead to Liverpool versus Newcastle, New Year's Day, well New Year's night even, 8 p.m. on Monday, fair few days away, but listen, it's Friday, we're having the weekends off because the Reds are off, so we're doing this one today, give us all plenty of time for the build up to a massive, massive game. And Dan, we'll speak about the context of the league table, etc, etc, later on. But we'll look at Newcastle themselves first as the opposition. Mm-hmm. Recent games between Liverpool and Newcastle have been pretty close, four games. I mean, late winners, drama, controversy, arguments on the touchline. It's had it all, really. Are you expecting that again Monday?
Hopefully not, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm sort of craving that relatively comfortable, straightforward victory. I think we had a little taste of that on Boxing Day, albeit that was sort of heart in mouth for probably about an hour's worth of that game, wasn't it? If not slightly more. So I would like us to be a little bit more straightforward with how we're going about our business, but that's not really Liverpool way either. And listen, it's working up until now at least. So yeah, and Liverpool Newcastle down the years, you know, you mentioned a couple of sort of recent games there, clashes obviously with the Nunes cameo away at St James's Park, the arguments on the touchline, stuff like that. I think it was Fabio Carvalho got the winner in this fixture last season really late on, so it tends to be sort of drama filled. And like I say, go back even further, all the 4-3s we used to have with him, Stan Collymore, all that sort of stuff. So I think it bodes and it would suggest it's going to be another action-packed game, but yeah, I would like a more comfortable night's work, to be honest.
It's interesting, John, because actually you think of Liverpool and Newcastle games as they're really close. The last time Newcastle beat Liverpool was 2015. The last time they won at Anfield, you've got to go back years and years and years. They just don't win at Anfield, rarely ever do. But if you look back, like Dan mentioned, the results, so it was Nunes last year, wasn't it? We had Carvalho at Anfield a little bit earlier in the season. There was the 1-0 away, and Naby Keita scored very early on in 22. They've been, between Eddie Howe's Newcastle in particular and Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool, they have been games that have been decided on razor thin edges, really. Having said that, this Newcastle now, I think it's fair to say throughout the most time of Eddie Howe's period, it's been an upward trend. Mm-hmm. They've been, you know, they've started in, they've been getting better and better and better. They're in horrendous form at the moment. Their injury list is piling up. There's two ways to look at it. It's like, is this the game for them to get right, or is this a good time to play Newcastle?
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because I think if you think of that team under him for the last 18 months, they've been so well organised and so physical, which is not something necessarily I would have associated with him, certainly from his Bournemouth team, although there was always the odd game when he was at Bournemouth where we'd come a cropper, if you like, which is a bit of a worry. But I think it's just killing them, just the amount of people they're missing, because I think he's clearly got, and I think last season especially, he had like maybe 13, 14 lads who he just ran into the ground, obviously with no European football. And a similar sort of thing this year, obviously with European football, and loads of them have just started, you know, just picking up the injuries and not being able to rotate it in and out of the squad. So he's got maybe 12 lads, I think, who he can put out who are of the standard, and he's just been running them into the ground, and I just think it's catching up with them slowly. And I suppose the only thing is just whether there's any, obviously whether we can sort of make hay with that, but also whether you can sort of get into the Reds a bit. I mean, I imagine if he's fit, he's going to pick Gordon, whether you can get into his head at Anfield kind of thing, play on that. You know, I think Isaac's had a knock, isn't he? He's just coming back.
He should play though.
But that kind of thing, like whether you can keep him quiet, because he's going to be the main outlet for them, I imagine, kind of thing. So it's, I think it's a good as good a time to play them if this fixture was maybe, you know, maybe even 6 weeks ago kind of thing. That reasons I'd be a bit more sort of tense about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hawks, remember, thanks very much. Hawks says, hoping the same Newcastle have been knackered for weeks arrives, time to step up over our title rivals. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Hawks. He's right, Dan. They are knackered. They're running on empty. I've got the injury list here. Eddie Howe in his press conference earlier, by the way. Mm-hmm. I checked it out and he basically said he doesn't think anyone's that close. Lascelles is the closest to being back, but it's touch and go. Tonali, we know about, suspended for the year. Nick Pope, shoulder. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't got happy memories playing Liverpool anyway. He got himself, he missed the cup final because of playing us, but he's had good games against us in the past. Jacob Murphy is still out. Harvey Barnes. Lascelles is the one who do you think is touch and go, but I don't think he'll be back. Joe Willock still out. Elliot Anderson, Mankio, and Matty Target as well. They are razor thin. They've just started getting, like, Bottoms only just come back into the fold. So they've had a couple back. But you look at the likes of, like, for someone like a Kieran Trippier, Joe Linton, who's only just coming back, Almiron. It feels like John was right before. It does feel like they've just been ran into the ground, these lads, and they are so desperate to get their players back. But as soon as they come back, they're going to have to play straight away, pretty much, because these lads look absolutely shattered.
Yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it? It's the ill effects, not just of the fact that the squad's been dropping like flies because of the amount of football they've been asked to play time and time again. And a lot of these lads, you know, you could probably name three or four of them, potentially a couple more, that are used to playing 2-3 games a week. I mean, Kieran Trippier falls into that category, of course he does, but to do it over such a prolonged period of time without really being able to be rested or rotated, it has an impact eventually. I think we've seen that in performances as well as injuries. Like Trippier of late has absolutely fell off a cliff. He's been making mistakes left, right and centre, and that fatigue, not just physically but mentally, does set in at some point. And Newcastle, like I say, they've definitely been feeling that. So yeah, I think it's been tough for them, and sort of predictably so as well. If you look at the business they did over the summer, they did little pieces here and there, but they didn't do anything like what I expect them to do. When you get Champions League football, you need to double down on the strength.
I think the things killed
it has killed them, of course. As yet, no one could have sort of preempted that. That is painful.
Someone could have a bet on it.
AC Milan might have had an idea, by the way. But yeah, outside of that, that is cruel to Newcastle, I guess. I'm not bothered, but that is quite cruel. But even beyond that, I still expect them to do more in terms of the squad depth, because you've got Callum Wilson there backing up Isak, and Isak's brilliant, by the way. He scored at Anfield last season. But Wilson, he's got injury problems. You know that. Go and get another one. You let Chris Wood go, albeit Chris Wood's not of the standard. You let one of your options go there. So the squad never looked deep enough to cope with the football they're going to have to play, and that's what's been proven. But yeah, you're right, ultimately, as soon as they get lads back fit, they're back into the side straight away, and there's no time to sort of reintegrate them, which Liverpool have been able to do at times this season, between it Diogo Jota recently. So yeah, I imagine Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp won't be smelling blood necessarily, that's too far, but if there is a good time to play Newcastle, it feels like it's right now.
They've been a little bit lucky, I suppose. Not lucky, because it's their academy, but they have had a couple of young lads half step up and help them out because they were really struggling. So someone like Lewis Miley, for example, he played again at the weekend, but he's a kid and he has done really well for them, but he is so young. He's 17 years old. Asking 17 year olds to carry your team for you, Liverpool can't do this, or similar with Stefan Bissetta, and now he's out. And I'm not blaming that, because Jürgen spoke about the growing things, but when you keep asking young lads to go and go and go and get it, it's almost harsh on them. Like, for his development, it'll be great, and he'll probably feel the benefits of down the line. But if they could just be dropping one or two in and out, I'm just looking at the team they picked the other day, and I'll go to their bench for the, obviously they got beat by Forest 3-1. They had Joe Linton and Callum Wilson, both came off the bench, both have been struggling, but which is good for them. Liveramento, come on, Lewis Hall, come on. Glad you've been bombed. They've tried to bomb Paul Dummett, Matt Ritchie out.
Themselves as well. They got rid of him.
Yeah, they've been trying to bomb a few of these lads out. They are running on empty. I think they'll. The return of Joe Linton will be a bonus to them, but it does, again, like Dan mentioned before, this rigmarole of Champions League game, Champions League week, Champions League weekend, Champions League Premier League Cup game, goes to penalties in the Cup. It does feel like, yeah, they've had, the weekend was almost a culmination of it all, really, when Chris Rudd's running through them and no one can get near him. It felt like that was like the, oh my God, like this is how bad it's got for them.
Yeah, it's what you're ready for, isn't it? I think, like, I mean, of everybody in that squad, you would say probably Trippier is probably the only one who's had that, you know, in terms of his career, of he sort of playing, like, you know, Wednesday, Saturday or Thursday, Sunday kind of thing. But I wonder that a little bit with the manager as well. Like, I mean, it must be hard for him, and sitting with Jürgen talk about it with our team, in terms of he's probably had no time with them all season on the training pitch to go, right, I've only got 15 years, here's what we're going to do to get through the next 3 weeks, and here's how we're going to do it. You know, he's just got to keep picking lads and going, right, I know you only vaguely know what you're doing in midfield, but I need you to just do me a job. So, you know, we've been there, you know, we sort of go back sort of 4 or 5 years, you know, sort of early bit of Klopp's reign, but, you know, it's how you adapt to those things, isn't it, really? And, like, you know, Dan's also touched on it before, you know, things like Trippier losing his head with the fans shows you at least that it's getting to them a bit, which is, you know, a bit of a worry, I would say, if you're a Newcastle fan, in terms of, like, he should be the James Milner in that team, who's the level head, who maybe his legs are going, but, you know, he can at least make sure we keep a tight ship. So I think there's a few cracks there just in terms of what they're doing. And, you know, it's my only thing with them, I think, is, like, looking at who's fit. As I say, the only player I think they've got who can sort of do something special is Isak. You know, I think Wilson could do, but, you know,
he won't start.
And it's like, you're looking for those players, and when they've been at the best under Howe, like him, Gumere, Bruno, you know, Tonali had a little run, obviously, at the start of the season before what happened, but, you know, they've had those lads who are just a little bit of touch of class. Even Barnes from Leicester, he had a little spell at the start of the season. None of those are there at the minute, and you just think, like, well, where's it going to come from?
It's Isak and Gordon, isn't it? It's Isak and Gordon.
Yeah, they're
the threat, aren't they, Dan, I suppose? Gordon obviously scored, obviously Trent ballsed up in the game earlier, obviously, when Darwin come to the rescue, but it does feel like their goal threat is severely diminished, really, at the moment. There's a lot of dependence on Isak and Gordon. They're both good players, but if Liverpool will feel like if we can half close them down, and Liverpool defensively recently have been pretty solid, doing the best defence in the league at the moment in terms of goals conceded, they will fancy the chances that he can hurt this Newcastle side. I saw, you know, Dai watched that game against Forest. Dan Byrne got dragged off after like 10 minutes because Alanga had him on toast, and they had to bring Livramento on, and it just feels like they are, like, they're there for the taking if you can get at them. Probably not getting the shield that they want from the DM in front of them. They haven't really got one. It does feel like you can get, there's goals to be scored against Newcastle.
Yeah, I think so. So going into this game, it does look like they're defensively as fragile as perhaps they've been under Eddie Howe, I would say, right now. And that down to personnel, it's down to that fatigue that we've already spoken about. Yeah, the subkeeper's there as well, and even he had an injury problem quite recently too. It feels like if Liverpool can nullify one or two threats, and it probably does stem particularly from Gordon, I'd say he has been electric for Newcastle pretty much since he got there, to be fair to him. Isak's a very, very talented footballer. I like him a lot. If you can nullify those two in particular, it feels like we'll have a lot of joy up against their fullbacks. I know Trippier is a seasoned professional. He's been around the block a few times. He's got lots of quality on the ball, but defensively right now he's looking very suspect. The other side, they don't really have, he must have signed about 3 or 4 left backs. So Livramento was playing there recently. He signed Lewis Hall from Chelsea. Dan Byrne is kind of an out of position left back. None of them feel like the answer to me necessarily. So I think Mo Salah up against any one of those three would fancy his chances all day long. And as you mentioned, they've got one centre back who they tried to get rid of in the summer, Jamal Lascelles, coming back from injury potentially. Sven Botman's only a couple of weeks away from coming back from injury himself. So there is holes in that defence, I would say. So from our perspective, I think Liverpool, generally speaking, attack is the best form of defence, albeit we've got the best defensive record in the league right now. But I think this clash in particular, this fixture, should be one where we look to get very much on the front foot and try and kill it off early if we can.
Absolutely. Let's move across to the Reds. Then we've got a question here from Joe. So is Alexis McAllister back for this game? So we'll go through the injury updates. The Jürgen spoke at his press conference today, Dan. So effectively, we've also had a comment here actually from David. Says, does anyone know him, the likes of Robbo? But yes, it's Matip Thiago due back. So Matip, I can run through it very, very quickly. Robertson, he said, end of January. But Chetic, they're not sure about, because they're managing him. Sometimes he feels all right to play and sometimes he doesn't. Matip won't play again this season. He said Thiago in January, don't hold your breath. And then the rest of them, there's nothing really close. The closest one is McAllister, Dan, other than of the short-term injuries. He's due to train today, potentially, with an eye on seeing how we react. So I'm guessing Liverpool's plan, they're probably going to train all 3 days, you would guess, maybe before they play Newcastle, which, you know, it's a rarity if you think about it. They might even do something Monday. They might, if he does want to give them a day off, he might give them New Year's Eve off or something. I don't know if they have a bevy or not, but Jürgen said he's the closest. The rest of them are unavailable. Tim McCast is going to be a long term one, looks like he's broke his collarbone as well. Ali Mack, then, let's start with him. My sense is Endo goes away soon.
Yep.
I think Endo plays because they're about to lose him, and why take any risks with McAllister? He could be on the bench, get him on the pitch if you need to.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking of starting, and also Endo's been really good and deserves the keeper's place, but it feels like I don't think he's going to throw McAllister straight back in.
It's as nailed on gets, that Otavio Endo starts this game for me. You mentioned it there. He goes to the Asia Cup. I think this will be his last game for Liverpool, to be honest with you. I know the Asia Cup starts on the 12th of January, so there's a possibility of sneaking in for the FA Cup clash, but I don't see it personally. I think, why would you rush McAllister back when, as you mentioned, Otavio Endo's been playing brilliantly? This is probably the last game he'll play for Liverpool before he goes away. And we don't rush players back because we know what happens. We've seen it before. We've seen it this season. I don't know if we rush Pochettino back. I might be doing him a disservice there, but we brought him back and we haven't seen him again for 6 weeks since. So we will be very, very careful, regardless of who it is, about sort of reintegrating him back into the side. So if McAllister's available to be in the squad, great, but it'll be minutes from the bench. And it'll be important minutes from the bench because we're going to need him whilst Otavio's away. So yeah, I don't see a world whereby McAllister starts this game of footy. He could train for the next 3 days and just come back off 2 days off as well, Liverpool. So there's a good chance we do train pretty hard until kickoff here, essentially. But yeah, I don't think we'll see McAllister anywhere near the starting lineup personally.
And it makes a good point as well, John, is that this is probably the last game Salah's going to play as well. Salah and Endo, they're probably going to do this one, then they're going to go away. They miss at least four games. I think it's Arsenal in the Cup, the two League Cup games, and then is it the Bournemouth in the Premier League. So Liverpool will be alright with it. You'll see how it goes. They're ones that they won't, you know, in terms of Premier League, they don't miss too much. But McAllister might have to play in all four of those. It makes sense just to be extra careful with him. And the thing with him is that it wasn't a muscle injury or it wasn't like a hamstring, so he should be fine, that he's physically okay, but it's more about keeping the minutes out of his legs, because you don't want to just drill 90 minutes into him and then he's got to play four on the spin without much happening. So I'm guessing it'll be Endo again.
Yeah, you'd imagine it would be, and like you say, the form he's been in, you know, he's growing into that role, hasn't he? You know, in probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's really, really, I think, got to grips with what the manager wants from him playing at the six. And you know, I think it's a bit of a hallmark this season. I think part of the reason he likes McAllister so much there is that, you know, getting on the ball and playing it forward, and Endo's really added that to his game. Yeah. and that's where we hate teams, really. That's where you free up Szoboszlai and, you know, Elliot and stuff to go forward with the ball in terms of midfield. So I don't see him thinking, you know, in terms of changing the team too much. I think it'll be sort of the team he picked in the last game, and as you say, maybe depending on how we go in terms of the scoreline and stuff, maybe he's dipping these lads in and out on sort of 60-70 just to get them some minutes and sort of get them back up to speed. But I can't see there being too many changes personally.
See, I think there'll be loads. I really do, yeah. And I've got, yeah, let's have a little look at the Liverpool team that started against Burnley here. Obviously Alisson was in goal. We've got Gomez, Van Dijk, Quanta and Trent. And we feel free of Endo, Gravenberch, Elliott. It was Nunes, Gakpo, Salah up front. And Quanta or Konate, I genuinely think, honestly, and I mean this isn't like, I think obviously pedigree suggests that Konate plays. If you're talking form, there's every chance it could be Kwanzaa. I think he'll go after Konate, and I think he's actually maybe a part reason for that. But like, I don't think if Kwanzaa played on, you could argue that it wouldn't just be to rest Konate. There's a chance that if you were picking on merit, he could easily go Kwanzaa, and I think everyone would be like, yeah, no what, absolutely no problems with that.
The fact that's a conversation in itself is testament to just how brilliant Joel Quanta has been.
Yep.
And he has been absolutely outstanding. 100%.
Because Konate was great against Arsenal.
Awesome. That was the point I was going to make, because I thought he was superb against Arsenal.
He was, yeah. He was.
And his levels, his ceiling rather. We haven't seen Joel Quanta's ceiling yet. We haven't got enough of a sample size to know what he's all about. Yes, he looks like a brilliant prospect. And his answer to Liverpool's sort of question at the start of the season about have we got enough centre-backs, he's been outstanding. He's sort of filled that void brilliantly. He's calmed us all down. Let's just say that. But I think Konate started this one. Konate, we're just managing Konate's minutes still, aren't we? Which is a concern in itself. The fact he can't play, it was midweek, and then he can't play Burnley, and then he can't play this one in a row, is a problem, because we need that from him, certainly without Joel Matip. But yeah, for me, there is a conversation that Quanta's sort of getting on merit, but it's just Konate, isn't it? Konate is outstanding. Like him and Virgil van Dijk, I'm not sure in terms of if they both play at their best, I don't think he gets any better than that in the Premier League. Liverpool haven't got better than that. It doesn't get any better than that in the Premier League for me.
I think there's a diddle in terms of, and my concern is not Konate, my concern is Gomez, because I think he, given what's happened and the fact that we're still a few, you know, a couple of days away from the window and stuff, I think he'd be slightly worried about what we're doing at fullback in terms of the games we've got coming and playing him repeatedly.
I wouldn't be shocked if we see Kwanzaa at left back once.
Really?
No, not this weekend. I mean, against Newcastle, Gomez will play left back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked that Arsenal Cup game or one of the Fulham games. I don't think he can rely on Chambers yet. I think we saw it against Union. He's probably not there.
No, he's not ready.
Scanlon isn't there yet. Just not ready. I wouldn't be surprised, Dan, if we see just one game where Kwanzaa just go. I reckon he could do it. I reckon he'd be fine. He's good enough on the ball. He's got that left foot on him. I'm with John. I think Gomez plays and he's been fantastic. He was excellent the other day. But again, he's another one. If Robertson's not going to be back till the end of January, they are going to have to look after Joe Gomez a little bit somewhere.
Oh yeah, there's absolutely no way we see Joe Gomez in all these upcoming fixtures. I'm 100% with you both on that. I don't think it'll be Kwanzaa, personally. I mean, I'm no doubt he could do it, and I think that's fine, but he's going to play in the centre-back role in these aforementioned games, because otherwise you go in Van Dijk and Konate potentially for them, because you're resting Gomez, so you can't go him. I'm not sure you want to go Van Dijk and Konate in the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup for that matter.
I think in the Carabao semis, you will.
But perhaps, but we're so cautious of what we do with Konate as well. I think we're going to want to give him a break at some point, so we're going to need Kwanzaa. I do think, and I agree with you, I don't think neither Chambers nor Scanlon's very, very young, by the way. Yeah. I don't think either of them have sort of stepped up in the Europa League and said, don't worry, I'm ready, like Kwanzaa's done, but it wouldn't shock me in any way, shape or form if it was Chambers.
I care, this is a shout at some point.
Left back.
Well, he played my right back, didn't he, against... I'm just trying to think...
Leicester in the Carabao
Cup. I'm just trying to think, if is there someone in the squad who might be able to go now, do an hour at left back? Who's your James Milner now?
It might be with Harvey Wendell.
It's Joe Gomez.
I don't know if there is one. I'm just trying to think now. No, the other one here is that Owen Beck is out on loan at Dundee. They talk about maybe bringing him back for a few weeks to sort of cover that, because he's playing senior football, at least up in Scotland. So potentially, just while we cover the cup games, because obviously we've got two. I just don't see us, I don't see a sign in a left back for what is a four or five week problem. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the Anthony Robinson stuff's kind of been squashed already. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that there. So we're going for the back. We're going Konate in for Kwanzaa so far.
Personally,
so there's a one change. Midfield, Endo plays, we've all just discussed that. Do you think he just takes these both out? So it was Gravenberch and Elliott who started the other day. I think he's going to go back to Szoboszlai and Jones, John.
Mm.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. Like, I completely get the logic of it. I completely understand it. Like, why
Szoboszlai plays, surely, you would think.
But I just think when you look at them at the minute, I think there's a question mark over Gravenberch for me personally. The manager might think differently, obviously. Just in terms of, I think he's okay, but I just don't think he's still up to speed in any sense yet. I just don't know with Elliot, but obviously him and Szoboszlai playing on the same side, whether he looked to sort of strike where the iron's hot. But I mean, you know, if he starts him from the bench kind of thing and starts with Szoboszlai and then brings Elliot on 60 when they've got tired legs and they've got no subs in terms of quality, you know, to make changes.
It was Newcastle. Brilliant against them away.
Mm.
When he come off the bench, Nunes come off the bench and won the game. I thought he was outstanding off the bench against Newcastle, but... You think he'd go Szoboszlai down, but you can't argue with Elliot, can you?
No, you can't. And again, it's similar to what I said about Kwanzaa before. If it's Elliot on there, I'd have no qualms about it whatsoever. And that is again testament to just how good Harvey Elliott's been this season. I thought he was good at Burnley as well from the start. I think a lot of his better performances this season have come from the bench. I'm not saying anything groundbreaking there, and when he has started, he hasn't quite got into the game. But I thought he was decent at Turf Moor. I do. But having said all that, I think it'd be Szoboszlai and Curtis Jones. Not just because I think that's probably our best starting 11 right now in terms of what it offers, maybe not on form, and there's definitely an argument for picking players on form, of course there is, but I mean that's our strongest starting 11. Gravenberch Jones was a question earlier on, but I think Gravenberch has just dipped in the last few weeks since he had that little knock or whatever it was.
He's struggling. I think
he's struggling as well. Something's not quite right there, and I think he's such a talent, by the way, and I was so impressed with him early doors, but something's not quite clicking at the moment. But yeah, I think again it boils down to managing the squad, rotating players, giving lads a rest, bringing them in, dropping them out, because we're still in four competitions as we speak, so he's going to need to do that over the next few weeks. And I think this will be another case of it. You've got your two attacking eights there that started, get them out the firing line and get the other two in who are fresh and ready to go.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time.
For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Let's talk about up front then. Jürgen said this is his press conference, John. Like, everyone keeps telling me I've got these five boss strikers. I never have them. Like, he said I'm going to have Salah for a game and then he's fucking off. Like, this is the game where he has actually, touch wood, as we speak, he's got all five available to him. Salah will be flying off to the AFCON after this one, you would think. I don't think he'll be around for the cup game. So he's going to play. It's a choice now, two from four. And all of them have got different merits, strengths, weaknesses, form, whatever you want to say. How do you see the others going? He's got to pick a centre forward and a left winger, perhaps. Well, definitely. I mean, how do you see it going?
I think he'll start Diaz just for his pace in terms of his running, and I think he'll probably start probably Jota, but it could be Gakpo. My point is
Jota so much. Honestly, I fucking love him.
No, you do. You're a big
I don't care where he plays. I'd have him in. He's in my team. Get him in there. He'll still score. Get him in my team somewhere. I would play Jota and Nunes is what I would do.
Okay. I'm the opposite to all of that, by the way.
Go on.
I just think he would have Nunes off the bench for the pace, I think. I think he'll have one of them run them ragged for 60, 70, and then he'll put the other one on.
Nunes off the bench is such a win in this because of what happened at St James's Park, isn't it? But for me, it's Nunes from the left actually here, and it's Gakpo for the middle. And the Jota thing.
Why would he change that?
That interchanges all the time.
Do you know what I mean, though? Gakpo was left wing the other day.
Yeah, but that's a type of. That's horses for courses in terms of the opposition because Burnley was such a low block at times. It was quite difficult to break them down. I think Newcastle would be the opposite of that. Kevin Trippier will look to get forward and do stuff.
I want Jota against Trippier, man.
Jota's brilliant. And if Jota was fully, fully fit and he played lots of minutes in recent weeks, I'd have a conversation with you. But because he's had like 10 minutes, albeit a great cameo at Burnley, I just don't see him starting this game. I don't think he's ready for that. So I think out of the lads that are ready, I would be going Nunes from the left to sort of take advantage of Trippier when he goes forward, and Gakpo. I just think Gakpo, listen, he hasn't had a good start of the season, a good half of the season now we are, but I think he still offers something very different that the others can't quite match yet. They can't quite emulate how intelligent he is, the use of the ball is dropping deep. So I would be looking for him to drag out Lascelles and Botman, etc., and just let Salah and Nunes cause havoc down the sides.
Faye in the chat says I'd start Nunes and Jota. I'm absolutely with me and you're on the same page. The good news is, John, it's the first time he's had all five, and he's going to lose it very, very shortly. Someone's going to have to go and play right wing at some point in the future. My guess, actually, I think that's going to be Harvey Elliott. I think that's what he's going to do there. So he doesn't have to worry too much about that. If you think you're smelling blood on Kieran Trippier at the moment, and listen, I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's excellent, but he's clearly. He's having a torrid, basically. Everyone's having a, you know, he misses the penalty that gets them out of court. He's made mistakes for goals. He's been ram ragged. There is a case to say Darwin just go and tear at him for an hour. But Jota could do that to him. Diaz could do that to him. Gakpo, he could all do it. There's no obvious choice, really, which is a good place for Liverpool to be.
No, it is, and it's. I think the main thing is to take advantage of what you said at the start. Take advantage of the fact that you've got five of them. So if you're gonna put Nunes on him for 60 minutes and run him ragged, great. Then give him Jota for 30 minutes and go, right, now I'm going to play you when you're already run ragged and I've just run you ragged for 60 minutes and you're knackered because you've been doing doggies trying to get back in here, you know what I mean? So it's how he rotates that. I can't remember whether it was the game at the start of the season or last season, but there was a game where we had Dan Byrne as well. Dan Byrne was playing left back for them and we just kept running in behind him and he just didn't know what to do.
Alanga had him on toast the other day. Yeah. Like, he couldn't touch him. He couldn't foul him. Salah should... You're hoping one last hurrah before we send Salah away with our hankies to Africa to try and come back with a trophy. But yeah, you're right. Their fullbacks have been a little bit of an issue. Livermento's actually been all right when he's come off the bench, and he could start. But you are right. it does feel like that's the weakness of Newcastle. Can you do something against the fullbacks?
I think that's where we'll get the joy, and it's like how you can sort of take advantage of that. And we've just got a box clever. I mean, the only advantage they're going to have over us, if you like, and I wouldn't even say that because obviously we've got Trent in the team, is, you know, if they get any decent free kicks with Trippier in the team, you know, he's good at set plays, and obviously the lad up front, Isak. But other than that, if we can limit them to just we're playing our game, and we've been quite good at that lately. Mm. You know, we touched on Endo earlier in terms of the midfield and things like that. I think we've been good lately, sort of dominating games. You know, we're starting to see that creep into us a bit more, you know, for longer periods where we're actually just dominating the ball and dominating possession, obviously against Burnley most recently. But if we can do that, then you've just got to hope one of those lads turns it. That's where we've been struggling really, isn't it, in terms of like actually just converting the chances. But, you know, there's so many opportunities there for the manager in terms of that front three, in terms of what he can do. And I think it slightly relies, as I say, sort of on what happens in game. I think he'll pick a three, and at the minute you could throw a dart at any of the five, and it would be one of them. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. But then I think he'll adjust it in game based on what
we'll see them all. We're all five. Don't be on the pitch. Salah will play 90 or touch unless he gets injured, and then the others will rotate. Right, then we think we've got half a team, although we disagree completely on the front. Which is sound. I just picked Jota. If Jota's fit, he plays for me. I get him in the team and he scores goals. Let's have a look at what this means then in terms of the league table. So as we sit and record Friday morning, Liverpool sit top of the league halfway through the season, 19 games played. Now the Reds are top on 42 points. Arsenal are second on 40. Aston Villa are third on 39. And Manchester City, having beat Everton, will be licking their lips that they haven't been cut adrift while they were away. They're on 37 with that game in hand, which I think I'm right in saying is Brentford.
No, it's Sheffield United, isn't it?
No, they play Sheffield at the weekend. The game they missed is Brentford.
I see,
And it would have been a good time to play Brentford because Brentford are really struggling at the moment. So City haven't gone anywhere really, Dan. They're still here. In terms, like you mentioned there, the weekend games then over the New Year weekend, I'm just going to scroll down to the fixtures. In terms of the rivals near the top, Villa host Burnley, City host Sheffield United, Arsenal go to Fulham, and Liverpool obviously host Newcastle. On paper, in terms of the league table, Liverpool have got the most difficult of those games there. You'd imagine City will just wipe the floor with Sheffield United. You'd expect Villa to beat Burnley at home.
Yep.
If you want to include Tottenham in this, by the way, I know they had a bit of an up and down week as well. They're playing Bournemouth at home, which isn't easy. Fulham away for Arsenal is no battle of laughs. Now, Fulham are so unpredictable. They are the Jekyll and Hyde team. But I watched that whole game yesterday and Arsenal weren't great. And West Ham were fantastic. And whether Fulham have got that in them to play as well, but all of a sudden with Arsenal having not won yesterday, it's how do they respond to adversity? Fulham away isn't easy for them.
No, far from it, yeah. And it feels like, and I made this point the other day on the Final Word Show, it feels like they're constantly playing London derbies because there's so many London clubs in the Premier League, and there's another one at West Ham last night, and then they're going into another one away from home. So there's always that little added bit of spice to a lot of their fixtures, which is nice from sort of our perspective, being one of their title rivals, of course. But yeah, it's not easy. And I think so much depends on what Fulham you get, because we seen Fulham at Anfield a few weeks ago cause us real problems.
They've won a game since.
Battered a couple of people five. Did they beat West Ham five?
The day when West Ham had the shit, they beat them five.
Absolutely nailed them. And then they scored goals. They've been free scoring essentially ever since. I know they got beat by Newcastle, but they went down to 10 men early. So, yeah, it just depends what Fulham you get. And I think Fulham on the day can cause anybody problems, certainly at home, you would imagine. So, yeah, I think I am looking at Arsenal now. And I've said all season, get me in a title race with Arsenal over Manchester City, I'd bite your hand off. But I am starting to, I watched the game myself last night. I am starting to wonder whether have they got the credentials again. Like, it felt for a long time they looked like the real deal, but then little cracks start to show and you go, Arteta, is he the man? Have they got this? Have they got that? And a lot of people thought Declan Rice was the answer, but I'm not so sure anymore. And this will be a big test for them, because you mentioned what's that, 1 point from two games now, that's not exactly title winning form in the modern era especially. So I do wonder, and what they do or the performance they put in against Fulham will go a long way to showing us.
It's interesting because since Fulham, obviously they were scoring goals, they put three past those, five past Forest, five past West Ham. Then they went down to 10 against Newcastle and they haven't scored since. They scored in the League Cup, obviously they knocked Everton out, they get beat at home by Burnley, they get battered at Bournemouth away. It's whether, you know, they've had 5 days since, because I'm not sure, I think the quick games here Fulham. But Marco Silva generally has a plan against the big teams where they don't always win, but they often give them a game. They went toe-to-toe for a bit with us, obviously. They give City a little bit of a go as well, although again just fell short. But it isn't an easy game for the Gunners. And we'll see how they react after what was a pretty poor performance. One where I think Liverpool and Manchester City would win that game because someone would score. Liverpool have got more clinical goal scorers for the most part. Your Salahs, your Jotters. Arsenal feel like they're struggling in the goal scoring department. I think their top scorers are both on five. Saka's been on pens, and Nketiah got three of those in Attica against Sheffield. Yeah. It does feel like the goal scoring's become a little bit of a problem for Arsenal, John.
It does, and it's, you know, I haven't checked it in the last couple of weeks, but certainly if earlier in the season, the underlying numbers for Arsenal aren't great, which is quite, I think, sort of quietly crept the radar a bit from most people that, like, their actual performance metrics are pretty poor.
The defensive ones are good, but the goal scoring ones are
really thingy. And like I say, I worry for them slightly in that because I think so much of what they do relies on Saka and Martinelli being great. You know, having those two wide players,
and they are good.
Yeah, and they are really good. And you know, and obviously, you know, I feel bad saying the functional in midfield, but they've got good midfielders, if you know what I mean, in terms of controlling games and stuff, and then getting the ball out to them. I just think there's maybe a little bit of complacency creeping in for them, you know, in terms of I think he's a great player, but I thought Zinchenko wasn't great, you know, over the last sort of week and a half in the games I've seen of him, which I feels weird because I think he's been one of their standout players, you know, he might just be a different form. I think Saliba's fantastic, but I do think they've still got a question over who's next to him at centre half, and if you've got someone like him, and as if he's back for Fulham, I presume it was two yellows.
No, just straight red, wasn't it? Flying into somebody hip high.
So he might still be out.
No, he'll be back.
It's been back. Three games, I think, though, yeah, since then. Yeah.
So if he's back, you know, you've got to have sort of a plan for him, I think. And Saliba.
Gabriel and Saliba, I think they're not an issue for them, no. Dan, because for the most part, they've been good against us. They don't get on. They've both been good. I think it's more a case of it felt like it was easy to frustrate Arsenal yesterday. Like, they kind of half ran out of ideas. Listen, the XG suggests that they were decent and the other chance, but that's the problem. They haven't got that clinical nature. Jesus, Saka, Martinelli, they're all good footballers, but I wouldn't say any of them are killers. They're not Haaland, they're not Salah, they're not Jota. You know, you look at even like someone like an Ollie Watkins, which is mad to say, but like the proper goal scorer. There's talk that they're going to try and sign Ivan Toney in the January to maybe try and get him back, but he hasn't played footy for God knows how long. But if anything's going to hurt the Gunners, it might be that.
No, you're right. It's the other Gabriel. It's Gabriel Jesus who might be the problem. He missed. He squandered two pretty big chances last night. Two headers, one in particular, should have done better with. So yeah, I completely agree with you. All very nice, intelligent footballers. None of them Saka a little bit. Never really put up big numbers when it comes to goal scoring. I think Saka himself was having a little bit of a dip in form. I think probably the key to Arsenal and sort of their biggest weapon, if you like, is probably Martin Odegaard, to be honest. I think he's a wonderful footballer. I really do. He is outstanding. Like, get him the ball and he just makes things happen, albeit the lads in front of him have been letting him down of late. I think that's probably a problem. But if they were to go out and do a bit of business like you just mentioned there, I've said for a couple of days now, I think Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal could all do one or two things in the January transfer window that gives us the edge, gives us the advantage over our rivals. I think for Arsenal it's absolutely number nine. If it was Tony Watkins or even Dom Solanke the way he's playing right now, I think there's something to be said for doing that bit of business, because Jesus, again, really good footballer, but that type of player, we had it with Firmino, that type of player who can sort of link things up around him and make things happen is only really effective when you've got two on either side who are absolutely prolific. We had it with Manning and Salah. He's got Martinelli and Saka, who are both wonderful footballers, but they're not crazy goal getters, are they, at the minute especially? So yeah, I think Arsenal got problems in that department, but long may it continue, because what they don't have either is, and we suffered with this a little bit, but again it never mattered because Salah and Mane were just so good, but they haven't got lads deeper scoring goals either. Like, the midfield had to shift him with one or two, but he was missing last season, didn't really have anyone. Xhaka got the odd one here and there, but they haven't got lads behind scoring goals. So when your attack starts stuttering and failing, where do you go from there? You've got no one to turn to.
Yeah, absolutely. Having said that, John, to round it off, they're all games you probably expect these teams to win. So I wouldn't be shocked if, by the time Liverpool play, City would beat Sheffield, Villa would beat Burnley, if we're including Villa in this race. I think Unai Emery kind of wrote them off himself the other day, but who knows. Arsenal go to Fulham, there's a chance they win that one, obviously, Sunday afternoon. It's different for Liverpool, where no longer holding save Liverpool, reacting to what everyone else has done. There's a chance that by the time we play, like, City could have gone level on points with Arsenal, and Arsenal playing above them. It's one way Liverpool are going to react last, which is an interesting thing, really. How can you deal with? Can you deal with? They might be second in the league by the time they play. For example, Arsenal might have leapfrogged them. We don't know. It's so early to be looking at like this because there's half the season in terms of league games to go, but that's kind of where we are now. Everything is over. We're watching Arsenal, we're watching City, we've got half an eye on Villa, and we've got ourselves to deal with as well. It's quite exhausting, really.
It is, and you've just got to deal with it in the sense of you've just got to put the points on the board and keep your head. And I think we're possibly, certainly of Arsenal and Villa, we're the best team set up for that in the sense that we've been there, you know, against City, but also we've got lads in the team who've won stuff, you know, and Arsenal haven't got that really. They haven't got, you know, obviously other than maybe Rice with the Conference League, but they haven't really got lads who've gone deep in title races.
It's the City lads, isn't it?
It's the two City lads.
You know, and you know, Villa are having a really good season, but I think it's probably a bit of a step too far in terms of the title, maybe. But so you've just got to sort of, I think, lean on those lads in the squad to be like, look, you know, you're the ones who carry us through. You know what this is. You go in and you do your job and you do it well, and we come out of this with 3 points, and that's all we're asking of you. Which I realise is a lot, but you know, when you're at the highest level, you know that's the standard. So we've just got to go in and perform, I think, and just when we are getting chances and stuff, convert them, and just take the wind out of it early. You know, it's at Anfield. You know, it should be, you would hope, a good atmosphere. It's the late kick-off, so I'm expecting it to be raucous. You know, it's like it's just one of those games where I just think, like, if everything goes how it should go, everyone's off their heads, having a great time in the ground, and we show up and play how we've been playing. Very quickly, the narrative goes from is this a bit of a banana skin for Liverpool to just, oh no, it's Liverpool. Liverpool are great. Newcastle are tired. We expected this, of course. We expected this, and we go and do the business.
So, just to round off that on the Premier League stuff, the last time anyone plays a Premier League game, obviously on the second, it's West Ham v Brighton. Yeah. Then there's a cup game the week after. Then it's where the winter break kicks in. So Liverpool actually won't play a league game now after they played Newcastle. It's like
21st. Is it
Bournemouth?
Bournemouth away on the 21st.
So it's a long way off R4 on the Sunday. Signing off with a win is vital here, really, for the Reds.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah, and just on sort of following teams around us, John alludes to it there. Like we've got the upper hand when it comes to that, along with Man City, of course. And we've been there and done it. We've seen it before. We've essentially gone about a title race or constructing a title race in every which way possible now. Certainly under Jurgen Klopp, let alone beforehand. And we've got the upper hand because of Jurgen Klopp, because he won't be panicking that Arsenal might do the business before. Has he seen this before? Man, it's too soon. He knows what this is all about. So yeah, that's a massive plus for us. But yeah, just in terms of the schedule coming up, I guess, and how important it is. Yeah, I think Liverpool is massively important. And also the Anfield factor is a big part of this. I know John touched on it there a moment ago, but Anfield being our fortress, that stands us in such good stead for the remainder of the season, and that has to continue. And what Anfield does, there's been a lot of talk about the atmosphere in recent weeks, so we don't want to dive too deep into that. But what Anfield does when we are even sort of one eye on potentially a title race is it goes up levels and levels and levels. We've seen it before. We've seen it in a Man United game when it went absolutely through the roof. So that can start on this game, because if we get an early lead, all of a sudden we're back to the top of the league and just watch it go. It become feral. It become a nightmare for people to come and visit. And that, Klopp taps into it time and time again. That can be the 12th man every single time we play at home. So yeah, let's just do it.
Well, Liverpool, yeah, get back to winning ways at Anfield against the Newcastle team who have been stinky. Honestly, their away form is dreadful. Like, it's really, really poor. It's like relegation away form. It's so bad. Luckily for them, St James has been...
They've got St James' back. They're fortress, haven't they?
Yeah, so luckily for them, St James. Right then, guys, that's all I said and done. So before we shoot off, I'm going to ask for some score predictions. Then, John, I'll start with you. Liverpool, Newcastle on Monday night. What are we thinking?
I think 2-0 Liverpool.
So do I
did not know that was Monday night. It's just a New Year's Day in my head forever. You know what I mean?
That's the same thing.
Yeah,
same
no, thing. No, but you know when people put days on this time of year? Yeah. Is that Monday?
Yeah, mental. Jamie, do they call it, we're in the Christmas gooch, he called it.
Okay.
Christmas,
in between.
Christmas New Year gooch, he called it.
I literally had to text my parents and go, right, forget the date, just Friday. I've been on Friday with mommy to go in.
Mental.
We're in the end of year gooch, you called it.
I've never heard that.
Christmas Day must be, New Year's Day must be the front or the back end. Yeah, it's the back.
Yeah, okay. So, it's going to be the front end of you. Yeah, okay. Anyway. Sound. The 3-0 Liverpool, I think this will be quite straightforward, quite comfortable. And I think I've been sort of begging us to put on a show for quite some weeks now. I thought it might come against United. It didn't. I thought maybe Arsenal. I think at some point Liverpool are going to put on a clinic. You know, we did against Leicester in the boxing they gave a few years ago. We're going to put on a clinic, and this is going
to
be it.
I think 2-0 to the Reds, but quite straightforward. 2-0. Fingers crossed, anyway, I'll take any win that we can get very, very quickly then. Some of you guys, Noz has gone for a 3-1. Rich has gone for 2-0. Bourbon has gone for Newcastle in the mud, 4-0 to the Reds, and Ian's gone for a 3-0. So lots of Reds as equally as confident as us. Right, guys, thank you very much for joining us for this episode, the match preview show. Just to let you know, redmenplus.com, if you sign up today as a monthly captain and use the promo code KLOPP, K-L-O-P-P, of course, you'll get the first month completely free. So if you want to go and check out all our amazing Red Men Plus content for the next month, redmenplus.com, monthly captain, use the promo code KLOPP when you sign up, and you'll get it for not for an entire month. So all the reaction around the Newcastle game and everything going forward throughout January, all the cup games, as well as our countdown of the 50 greatest Liverpool signings of all time, that's available for you to go and watch over there as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, promo code KLOPP, get a month for free. Wish you all the best for the weekend. Hopefully a couple of our rivals slip up, and we'll be back in the new year to hopefully watch the Reds get 3 points. So yeah, happy new year to you all, and I'll see you all soon.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.